Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be with you all this morning. I feel like kind of a bum. I kind of bummed off of your good pastors here with this blessing we received there. And I appreciate that. And pastors, you preachers here, your people appreciate you. And that's good. And I wonder if they wouldn't rather just hear from one of y'all this morning. It seemed like they really like y'all. But we want to look at in God's Word and see what God has for us today. And I also want to greet you from bring greetings from the church in Blackville. We appreciate y'all's faithfulness here. We know that y'all have faced some hard times, and we want to pray for y'all that y'all remain faithful. And we appreciate y'all here. Can anybody tell me how many chapters there are in the Bible? Without Google. That's right. 1,189. And out of 1,189 chapters, y'all's memory, Sunday school lesson was out of the three chapters that I had chosen to speak about this morning. And so it makes it a little interesting, but I feel like God can still use the message that I have. And I don't know why. I guess we have something to learn from Nehemiah. I've always been challenged by Nehemiah, by the story there, and I appreciated the thoughts that were given in the Sunday school, as we look at the story of Nehemiah and what he did there, it's a great challenge to us. The title I had today was Building Walls, and as humans, we tend to build walls. Sometimes we don't even know it, but we kind of build walls especially in relationship with others. And the reason we build these walls is because we want to protect ourselves. We want to keep anything from hurting us. So we put up these little walls and keep things from coming in. So when we face something, we're dealing with each other. We're facing things in life. We there's some friction. We just kind of stick up a wall, keep everything out, and we can stay happy like that because we got a wall up. But yeah, so when we talk about walls like that, we often talk about walls that need to be torn down. I believe that's true. Those walls need to be torn down, especially in the church as we deal with each other, as we meet each other. And fellowship with each other. The church of God should have no walls in it. There should be no, we shouldn't have anything to hide. We should fellowship with each other. We should encourage each other. We should know each other. And instead of putting up a wall and hiding behind it, we need to know each other, encourage each other because of what we're facing. And so those walls need to come down. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 say, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So these walls that we're talking about are spiritual walls. These walls are walls that we can't see. We have walls here around the building, and these walls are to keep the forest out. Keep the environment out, I guess. Today it's warmer in here than it is outside. Or I guess it still is. It was. These walls are protecting us. And so in our relationships, we try to protect ourselves and we throw up walls. But the weapons that we have that God has given us allow us to tear down these walls so that we can have a great relationship and so that our relationship can glorify God. And that we can be encouraged to serve Him. And I thought of some of you are too young and some of you too old, but the I think it's Game Boy, which I didn't have one, but I played it some. The little, what is his name, Mario, I think, the little red man, he'd hop along, and there's these little bridges and holes and stuff he had to jump and things you had to send him across. But as he went across, you'd send him up on a platform, he'd go, and you'd send him up on another one, he'd go across an obstacle. But if you missed it, he'd fall all the way back down. And as he fell down, there might be an obstacle along there. He couldn't get back up. So there he was. You're trying to jump up, and he's just bumping his head. He's not getting anywhere. So is that how we are in our Christian life? As we face things with each other, as we face trials in our lives, we build a wall, we fall down, we build a wall, and then that's as far as we get with each other. We reach that little spot where we had problems, and that's as high as we can go. We need to take care of those walls. We need to, and that would be a ceiling rather, but we need to take care of those problems. And we can continue to climb and be closer to God and closer to each other. And that, I think, is what the church is all about. But how do we know? Maybe we hold back sometimes. How do we don't let God. We want to protect ourselves, and instead of even we want we see if I can get it out. We want to protect ourselves, so we don't even want to trust God sometimes, because we're scared of what God will bring in our life. We're scared maybe another person will bring something in our life that will hurt us. So we're kind of scared to trust God even, because you know I might have to tear down that wall. So how do we know we can trust God? Well, the main reason we know that we can trust God is because He loves us. He cares about each of us, and He has a plan for each of us. And He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be saved and have eternal life. Now, if there isn't any, that's the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. And so if we can't trust God, trust His love for us, we're going to have real problems. If we can't trust that kind of love. And I think in the church, sometimes we have problems. We kind of fail in showing our love and our appreciation for each other. But it's very important that we love each other, care about each other, and encourage each other. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1 there. I know we've read a lot of it, but I still want to look at some of it. As we learned today, Nehemiah was a cupbearer there, and it was an important position, I think. He had to be a very trustworthy man. I think he had to be a godly man that the king recognized his faithfulness in order to trust him with his life. He made sure his drinks weren't poisoned and took care of the king in that way. So the king had real trust in him. And we look at other examples in the Bible. We have Daniel and Joseph and Esther. They were all put in positions of higher positions because of their godly lives, because of the life that they led. And they were very trustworthy. What do our lives show? Do our lives show that we are trustworthy, that we are able to, that others can trust us, others can allow us, can take down their walls and trust us with their problems, with their needs? Do our lives show trustworthiness, that others can rely on us? I have to try to figure out what to... Covered a lot of this stuff in Sunday school. As Nehemiah was there, he came in chapter 2, he came in... well, we know we read the story. He was sad. He was sent by the king. King sent letters and even sent his guard an escort, I think, with Nehemiah there to go back and build the wall. And he blessed him in that way. But as Nehemiah was he had a burden, and I think his cupbearer position was a very, how do you say, a cushy job maybe. He was there in the palace. He would drink the king's wine to make sure it's not poison. Yeah, that would have been a little stressful, of course, but he was able to, I think, partake of the king's meat and the things there in the palace. So he kind of had a good thing going there. But he didn't look at the importance of his job there and say, my job here is too important. I can't go and do this over here. These people in Jerusalem, well, that's too bad. I wish I could help them, but my job here isn't too important. And I think we need to be careful today that we don't, we kind of tend to think that, you know, what we're doing is really important. And it is. A lot of times I'm not trying to take that away from us, and it is important. We need to put our all into it and do what God calls us to do, but we can't hold back from God in order to do the thing that we think is important. Nehemiah had an important position. He had a position that he could talk to the king every day and bring his wants and wishes before the king, and the king could grant them. And so as he went to Jerusalem, he no longer had that interaction with the king. He didn't have that protection from the king. He was willing to give up that position in order to help those in need. And I'm not trying to say that we need to quit what we're doing and go do something else at all. That's not what I'm trying to say. But we need to, if God gives us a burden for something, be willing to follow that and allow God to lead us in that direction. As we look at Nehemiah coming there, and he looked at the wall, he looked at what was going on there. The people were in desolation and affliction. It was not a pretty sight that Nehemiah came home to, I don't think. It was the people, I don't think the people were getting along. The wall was all tore down. It was a mess around there. So here comes Nehemiah. And it would be depressing, I think, to look at that. But he believed he had a God that was much greater than the problem there. And as he put his trust in God, he was able to lead the people there. Verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2 says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Now, what changed for these people? Nehemiah didn't come with an army of concrete trucks. He didn't have excavators and bulldozers. But what changed for these people? Nehemiah came, he said, he showed them what God had done in his life. He showed them what God was doing. And he gave them hope. He gave them a purpose. It looked hopeless. You know, this crumbly wall all around us, there was no, as they looked at that every day, nothing changed. The wall didn't grow. No, there was nothing going on. And so it looked hopeless. But he gave them hope. He gave them purpose. He said, and they said, "Let us rise up and build." So he gave them a hope and a reason to work, because they realized that God had a plan for them. God had a reason for them being there. Chapter 3. I've always, you know, chapter 3 is very encouraging to me. As you read chapter 3, it's pretty tedious reading, a bunch of names and things going on, but it's a long list of people that worked together, of people that built beside each other. They all put their heart into it, and they encourage each other, and they all built their section of the wall. And so it's exciting as you read that, to see them be able to overcome whatever they had, the problems that they had before, the adversity that they faced. All work together and all have a purpose, their section of the wall. Now, as they built this wall, as they were working on this wall, there was there's 32 verses here, but I think there's a lot more names than that. As each of these men and their families built their section of the wall was built as a complete wall. They didn't, let's say Bob's building here, he's building north and south. George is here, he's building east and west. there's no way to make that to work out. There's going to be holes in your wall. They all worked together, and because of their unity, they were able to join those walls, and the whole wall came together. As we in the church, so often we want to build walls, and the wall that we need to build is needs to be on the outside. There's no wall should be inside. That walls need to be outside to protect us from the devil and from his, like Atlee talked about, the demons and the evil around us. That's where the wall needs to be, to keep that out. We don't want to build walls inside our other wall. We don't want walls separating us. We want unity and fellowship with one another so that we can all be encouraged within that greater wall. And that is, as I studied this, as I looked at this, the men there working together, if they weren't getting along, and for some reason their walls didn't match, there's a hole in the wall. They had opposition. Chapter 4. Yeah, read first couple of verses, chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity." So they had some real opposition. And later on we read, and I think Harley talked about it in Sunday school, they actually came, they were trying to sneak in and kill the people. They were going to find a way to sneak in. And they got wind of it and put up guards, and you know, they carried their swords. As we are in our church today, are we all carrying our sword? Do we have the Bible? And do we read it? And do we study it? And that is our sword today. That's the way we fight the devil. And as we carry our sword, and the devil comes, and he sees that, God can reveal in his word what the devil wants to do against us. And I think as Nehemiah there, he heard what was happening. He put up these guards with the swords. In the same way God can do, as we study his word, he puts these guards up in our heart. He puts these places, he reminds us of his word and shows us what we need to know about what's coming against us. And he can show us the enemy that is trying to sneak in. But if we leave gaps, if we are not in unity, if we let friction cause problems in our churches, we build these little walls, we have gaps in our outer wall, the devil can sneak in there. He'll cause, you know, why did he do that today? Why did he do this yesterday? And he'll cause problems, and it'll grow and grow and grow, and the whole city can be desolate again if we don't watch it, if we don't keep our guard up. We don't study our sword, if we don't use our sword and stand up against the devil. And sometimes you think of these churches, there's 400 people or whatever. Well, if there's two people or 400, every person in that church has a purpose. Every person has a section of wall. As our churches grow, we get our wall gets bigger. And each person is a part of that wall. And we think, well, I'm not very important. I'll do my own thing. That leaves a hole in the wall. It's not just us that we're hurting. We're hurting our church. We're hurting our family. We have to stand strong in our section of the wall so that we don't allow the devil to sneak in. Never think that you don't have a purpose in your church. Never think that God hasn't put you here for a reason. God put Nehemiah in the position that he was in for a reason. The king blessed him and was able to send letters, and he was able to, I think he got some wood and things that the letters were given to him so that others around him would help. But Nehemiah was there for a reason. God put him there for a purpose, and he put us here for a purpose. And we can never doubt that. Always remember that. And Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. If we can have unity, if we can have togetherness in our churches, if we can have that fellowship, the enemy around us will see it. They won't miss it. They know, sometimes we think, you know, we go to church and we have our own little thing, and those around us, they don't know what's going on. But I think they do. Often people are watching us and they know what's going on in our churches. They understand when there's turmoil and things going on. We have to be unified. We have to encourage each other rather than tear each other down. And the enemy will recognize that. And the enemy can see that. They were cast down in their own eyes. They realized that they had failed. They saw that it was of God. How can they go up against something that is of God? And so as our churches are of God, and as the community sees us, we're of God, how can they discourage us? They can't do anything against it because it is of God. And I think they will recognize that as well. So let's keep the wall up on the outside and not let walls come in between us. Let's break those walls down. And I say this, I don't know why I was led to preach this, but I know that y'all had problems here, and but I do not know y'all's relationships here, and I'm not trying to say y'all are having problems at all. That's not my goal. But I believe as you are here, I trust that you are fellowshipping together. You're breaking the walls down and encouraging each other to a closer walk with God. And as you do that, your church will just be such a blessing to the community and to each other. You'll be encouraged as you walk together, and not, you don't have to walk around walls and try to get through some other way. But if you're open with each other, you can encourage each other and lift each other up. In closing, let's look at ran away. John 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This is a commandment from Jesus. And if anybody showed their love for us, it was Jesus, as he gave his life for us. He commands here to love like that. We're to love each other like that. Would we give our life for our brother? Not just physically. Would we lay down our ambitions, the things that we think are important for our brother, to encourage him, to lift him up? Sometimes we, you know, it's hard. We think maybe our brother's dragging us down or something. We could kind of think that. But was Nehemiah dragged down from his position? I don't think so. I think it was a greater position that God gave him. God gave him a purpose. Even though his position was important, God gave him a greater purpose. Even it didn't look very appealing to start with, at least. But he gave him a purpose, and God gives all of us a purpose as well. All right, I'll close with that and turn the time back over to Brother Dale.
Together, and they hurt the wall. Psalm 85.
85 in the folder. Let's stand and we will pray and bless the meal. And then as soon as they're ready, we'll. Actually, why don't we move out there? Then when they're ready, we're ready. Okay. We're going to bless the light there. Father, this morning we are so grateful for your word. We're grateful for the example.